Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gauz.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about Promise of a Wizard, aka Mahoutsukai no Yakusoku, a series that's only a handful of episodes in. Since this is based on a video game, we decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we piqued your interest. It was animated by Linden Films, the studio behind Tokyo Revengers and Atelier Ryza, Ever Darkness and the Secret Hideout, which we covered for this podcast. Promise of a Wizard currently has a My Animalist score of 5.38. Promise of Wizard is a mobile gacha game, only released in Japan, which has spawned two manga, a stage play, and this anime since 2019. So I'm guessing this anime is to celebrate its fifth anniversary back in November. My synopsis for this anime is, after Akira is brought to another world, can she help save it from a celestial danger? Arthur, what do you have?
After the great calamity fells many of the wizards protecting the world, a new great sage must be brought into the world to summon more wizards for the next yearly battle.
And goes?
Akira gets isekai'd and has summoned a bunch of outlandish wizards, but has only 10 free poles. It's Kenja time. Also, Kenja time is a Japanese term that the Japanese people use for post-nut clarity.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't stop chuckling to myself every time they said the word Kenja.
We open on someone walking down a street and commenting on the wind. They've brought food for Cat Granny. That's the character's name, who we never see. They comment that Cat Granny warned something strange happens on windy nights with a big moon and cats in a frenzy, and as luck would have it, that's exactly like tonight.
No way.
They go home to their apartment and notice the elevator looks different. A flying hat named Myr greets them, calling them Great Sage, and saying that they're leading them to a destination almost destroyed by the Great Calamity. A wizard appears beneath the hat, saying that he wants to be their friend, apologizes for being a mess, says he's from the Western country, then disappears.
If I may, this is M. Bison's Isekai Elevator. It's a new trademark work in progress.
I wonder if they have that in the Shadulu hideout that has multiple doors.
So many doors you just walk past.
Yeah. I love that sequence. They just walk for a while.
Well, the elevator doors open and then we get the title sequence. I thought it was very subdued.
I surprised myself because I recognized that performer, that band, whatever, they did the opening for Goblin Slayer.
Oh.
Like, that's, I think that singer just is pretty recognizable. That high-pitched, but she speaks English fluently, so it just gets stuck in my head.
Fair enough.
The band is called Milli, if anyone's interested. M-I-L-I.
Okay, and you can find them on Spotify and Bandcamp, I assume. We return to the incident we left with the Great Sage being greeted by 17 people because she's been isekai'd. The two that get names are Drummond and Cock Robin, the Minister of Magic and Secretary for the Central Country. Yeah, the only reason I wrote their names down is so that I could say that word. I'm sorry.
It's doubly funny because he has cock in his name, but also he's named after two birds. And I'm pretty sure they pronounce it as cook.
Drummond gets angry when told that some wizards are approaching, and when the Great Sage won't move, he tries to get violent. But Heathcliff and Cain arrive to save the Great Sage. Acra, the Great Sage, finally tells us their name, and then Cain bickers with Drummond before the guards attack, while Heathcliff leads Acra away.
He tries to walk down the stairs, but he runs out of magic. I thought it was so funny that he couldn't walk down the stairs because he ran out of magic power.
Don't you use magic to run?
Yes, that's what I'm going to tell my child.
I mean, to be fair, in a few minutes when we see the outside of this tower, and it just looks like it's a spiral staircase all the way down, I can imagine it's going to take you a couple of hours to go up or down those stairs.
Oh, he just lied to her. He didn't want to admit that his cardio is poor. Yes, it's my magic power, totally. It's run out, shit.
When confronted by guards, Shylock appears in a window to vape at them. Cain explains that they want Akira's help to heal their comrade, and when Drummond appears, he tries to sway the Great Sage to his side instead, but she decides to go with the wizards. Heathcliff and Cain are very surprised by that.
I'm starting to question why Cain and Heathcliff couldn't fly out the window. Aren't they wizards? Didn't they fly in?
But they ran out of magic power.
Yeah.
They did say they used up almost all of their magic power trying to get there in time.
Yeah, but...
This happens right after the calamity, right? I didn't misunderstand. So, you know, they've just been through a fight.
Yeah, but the other wizards could fly. And also, they all fly a moment later.
Wizards flew slower, and then Heathcliff and the other one managed to get some of their magic power back so they could fly.
Okay.
It's to do with the vape smoke, I'm sure. Drummond makes more threats, so Myrrh appears and turns him into a mouse, then grabs Acura and leaps out of a window. Of course, it's not to their death, it's to fly on a broom, and we get the credits. We get a post-credit scene with Drummond being ordered to kidnap Acura so they can control the wizards and prevent Arthur from having his way. The second episode opens with a wizard named Oz being approached by Snow and White. No, not Snow White. Twins named Snow and White.
Pronounce White.
They're all concerned about Faust, their colleague that the Great Sage is supposed to be healing. We're briefly introduced to Mithra, Owen, and Bradley before Snow, White, and Bradley go in to see Faust, who is smouldering on a bed in a darkened room, literally begging for death.
Yeah, that was my least favorite sequence. Not him dying. Like, that was awesome. I love seeing people die. Just them introducing a bunch of outlandish wizards at once. Like, boom, 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 boom. You have to remember all that.
Yeah, at least they all got names. Not every anime we've watched has a room full of characters that are named. Usually I have to wait until later in the episode to get a name or look it up on my anime list.
That's fair, but if they won't appear for a while after that, then like you don't need to introduce them, tell me their names, because like it just takes my focus on that moment thing.
It honestly distracts me more when I don't know a character's name and I'm like, are you going to be important or not? Because then when they get introduced, I feel like if I have to come back here to kind of like get all the information of what they've done, you know, that's what I struggle with personally.
Well, in the three episodes, we only see Cock Robin the once.
Yeah, and I only remember because his name is Cock Robin. Yeah. He didn't, like...
Highlight.
Like, if they're gonna introduce them and have them be, like, a recurring character, then, like, you can have a flashback. Oh, you were there! You were back then, there! You stood there in the corner. Your name was Cock Robin, and now you're here, you're a recurring character. So I need to know everything about you, Cock.
So Faust is dying, and he's interrupted by Acura entering with the wizards from the first episode. Oz takes her hand and heals Faust moments after he dies, which Faust isn't happy about. Oz wanders off and the others talk before Acura slaps herself in the face to try and wake up. No, it's not because she found this incredibly boring, though who could blame her? But she thinks it's a dream.
Faust is like, what the fuck, dude? I wanted to die. I tried for so many years.
I jumped in the way of that attack because I wanted it to kill me.
Look at me. I'm like very emo. Like I'm extremely emo. I think death is hardcore and I want to do it.
Snow and White give Acura a diary, which the previous sage kept, which is written in a language they don't know. Luckily, it's Japanese. Why do they all speak Japanese?
I think maybe they don't know how to read Japanese?
Yeah, I understand that. Why do they speak it?
Look, they got, like, Starship Enterprise was there at one point, and they got the technology or Universal Translator from Janeway.
From the Enterprise.
Yeah, I messed that up. Because I wanted to make a Star Trek joke, but then I remembered how in Voyager, in one episode, Janeway is, I'm not gonna give them technology for bread knives, and later gives the Borg all the technology because she wants a food massage.
I don't remember that exact episode, but... So the diary makes it clear that the previous sage thought it was a dream too for like 2 weeks before Acura reads an entry that says that the wizards deceived them. Acura wonders if she's being deceived too, and I wondered what she thought they might be deceiving her about, because they've only told her, we need your help, and they did need her help. But on the next page, the diary says, oops, they weren't being deceived. It also mentions that Prince Arthur was helping them get home. Later, Myrrh is on the roof talking to the moon, and Sherlock appears to bring up the fact that Myrrh is in love with the Great Calamity. Does it come from the moon? Is it the moon? Not explained yet.
Jesus Christ, that fucking exposition scene. As you know, Myrrh, you're... in love with the moon, and you're the whole reason behind this whole calamity thing, but I'm not gonna tell anyone else, as you know, something like that. It goes on forever, and Myrrh doesn't care because he lost his mind.
Yeah, I mean, you're not even taking a swipe at Myrrh. Literally, we're told later he's lost his mind. The next morning, Kane goes to see Acura, but literally can't until she grabs his arm, having been completely invisible to him. Kane wonders if it's because his left eye isn't his own. It belongs to the wizard who gouged out his actual eye and replaced it with their own. What?
I didn't like the image of the eye just looking around on its own.
Like Kane gives this information like, oh, you know, he just tore my eye out and put in his eye socket and gave me his, you know. That's that usual... normal thing.
And he says that sometimes it looks at stuff on its own, and I'm like, does the other wizard ogle boobies remotely?
The wizard was Owen, who was briefly threatening at the start of the episode. Outside, Kane clarifies that yes, the moon is the Great Calamity, and it tries to destroy the world every year. This year, though, the moon is more powerful than usual and resulted in 10 dead wizards. As such, Kane asks Acura to summon more wizards to replace them. We cut to a collapsing building, and a child about to be crushed, but they're saved by Prince Arthur, who it seems is a wizard. And then the episode ends.
Again, doesn't come back for 17 episodes, I assume. I don't know.
Well, we know that that he can help someone get back to their own world, or can try and help anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Episode 3 opens on a wizard named Shino leading someone through a dark forest. There's a tremor, then mist rolls through, which puts the non-wizard to sleep. Shino has a go at the guy. I said don't get too close. Like, you think the mist is just going to stop at you. Is that what you think mist does?
Not like that. I was like, I didn't see the guy be any closer to him by the time he faints. I was like, Shino, relax.
Don't walk over here. I didn't thud. We get the titles and open back on Kane dragging Akira through the halls, excited that she's agreed to gacha some wizards. Kane doesn't see anyone in the room, despite two people being in front of him, and Akira asks if he's sure there's nothing wrong with his eyes. He brushes off to tell the other wizards about the gacha.
Now we found out that he's a gambling addict.
Akira offers to make breakfast and gets super excited when she's told that they expect rice porridge.
Funnily enough, he's a gambling addict, but it's because he thinks he always wins because he's blind.
The ingredients in the kitchen are as what they're kind of like in Japan. So it's kind of weird that they know what rice porridge is.
They don't have ramen.
There's even a jar labeled maybe rice or like rice.
But it's just a jar full of larvas.
Anyway, while she cooks with magical help from Heathcliff, we kept having flashes of text, which appear to be Akira's thoughts, but since they flash up for less than one full second, I've no idea why they're there. I had to keep scrolling back to pause it and read them. And it happened several times before, and it happens multiple times after this.
Yeah, it was so annoying. That was like, it felt like a quick time event.
It's subliminal messages.
I was over here. I've never cursed so much at an anime that I'm watching that hasn't done anything like, you know, to upset me narratively. I was just like, are you kidding me? Why is this happening so fast?
Anyway, after a discussion about magic, they serve breakfast, and Kane still can't see properly, and still doesn't want to do anything about it. We get a very quick montage with Akira's initial impressions on each wizard, with the blink and you miss it text. Then we get a geography lesson, which also explains wizard personalities somehow. And then we get a bunch more text about the wizards we've seen, which makes me wonder how quickly Japanese people can read.
The thing about countries and personalities is like, whoever wrote this, I think loved the Harry Potter. You have this personality, you go to this house.
Right, yeah. If you're from the South, you're kind and great and They're great. They're just, you should be from the South. But if you're from the North, then you're a git.
And if you're from the East, you can't drive.
Oh, God.
What? It's a joke. It's a joke about racism, okay?
You mean East Country. You don't mean from the East continents of the planet
Earth. Yes, from the East. Just replace me saying East with me saying East Country.
Perfect. It's seamless.
Just make it super seamless, okay?
It's then time for the summoning ritual. Once Akira reads up in the Sage's Journal how it works, she does a 10 pull and gets some SSRs. This causes a crest to appear in random places on some wizards. What happens if it appears on the sole of your foot?
On your back. That's the one I had a problem with. I never look at my back.
Yeah,
he's like, if you don't pop up over there to help, you become an enemy of all wizards, and I'm over here innocently walking around with the symbol on my neck.
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable with the sage being able to give people STDs remotely.
What you just said, Arthur, that we are told that they will be hunted if they refuse the call. That assumes that the planet isn't destroyed by the Great Calamity. But also, like, if I get the crest and it appears on the bottom of my foot, and like you are alerted to it somehow, like you feel it forming, and I don't want to go and die, then who's gonna see the bottom of my foot and be able to come after me?
They have wizard checkpoints where they pat you down.
Show me the sole of your foot. Those people are usually treacherous.
If you're from the West Country, you need to show me your foot.
Yeah, I don't like that look in your eyes. I feel like you have a crest on your ankle.
We then get a scene of four of these new wizards from the Southern Country who talk about it for a bit, and then the episode ends. So, was it a good adaptation?
It had gacha. That was all I needed.
Yeah, wizards, gacha, wizards. Akira is there. But Akira is in the manga.
But it's not, because the summoning is done through the elevator in the game. The elevator that Akira arrives in. It's not from drinking from some magical goblet.
They tricked her and she didn't actually did her pull.
Does that mean that they pulled her?
Yes. To be fair, we have no way of playing this Japan exclusive mobile title, so we can't check how the game starts, but anyway, based on the first three episodes, is it a yata, nani, or a baka, Arthur?
For me, it's definitely a yata. I feel like it's definitely slow, and that's a bit problematic because the first episode takes quite a while to get up. But what my favorite part about the anime is that it's very inventive in the way that magic is being used. You know, the fact that Kane has one eye that's not his, the fact that one guy's in love with the moon, that's all very unique things that, at least for me, who hasn't watched a lot of anime, is not often explored. So it feels really nice to have unique ideas that aren't just very samey, especially when it comes to magic, which, as Gores mentioned, has just become so plagued with J.K. Rowling's Hogwarts, and just everything is usually done with. But how would Hogwarts do it? And that's just grating to me.
And Gores?
For me, it's a nani. I check out more, like, It could use a little bit of push in general. I don't know.
Okay. For me, it's a nanny. There's nothing bad. It's well animated. It's well voiced. Does a decent job of world building, but it's just slow and boring.
Yeah, I think that's the main problem, right? With the first, I like the way that it's slow because there's such a big cast, and I think for the first time I can recognize them all easily. But at the same time, that comes at the price of, this is still the third episode and you're still introducing too many new characters.
Yeah,
hulks of characters.
That was my first problem with it, that there's just too many characters at once. And yeah, I mentioned that they introduced like three of them, say their names, show their like over-the-top original designs, and then they're gone. And I'm like, should I remember this? Should I? Why did you stir the pot? Why did you put so many ingredients in here so soon? I don't know. I'm just rambling.
Yeah, but I feel like I totally get that. It's just nice because usually the anime we watch is so rushed. So I like the change of pace a little bit because OVAs and anime adaptations don't often get the attention to be able to be so in-depth. So I think that's why for me it's a positive.
For me, the biggest redeeming quality is I just laughed at a lot of stuff. I forgot to like say that I feel like the guy that can't see people, I feel like the next episode he's gonna say, "Oh, I fixed my sight," and someone just he went to a hairdresser and then his bangs got cut.
He does wear his hair over that other wizard's eye, doesn't he?
I can see now. I don't know how they did it, but
magical hairdressers. So, will you keep watching?
Yeah, I think so. When I was first watching, I thought it was going to be a visual novel, so I was really interested. Then I found that it's a Japanese exclusive gacha, and I was like, oh. I guess when I learn Japanese, I'll try it, maybe. But, you know, checking out the gameplay, it's like, I don't know. The few bits of gameplay I've gotten to see is mostly pulling, which is like, oh, that seems immersive.
I might check out one more episode and see if it goes in a different direction.
I'm not interested. Which brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Goose.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Powers Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GamingGrin.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.